Thank you very much. That's better. I was like, it's not turning on. What's going on? A minister is making a wooden trellis to support a climbing vine. As he was pounding away, he noticed that a little boy was watching him. The youngster didn't say a word, so the preachers kept on working, thinking the lad would leave, but he didn't. Pleased at the thought that his work was being admired, the pastor finally said, "Well, son, trying to pick up some pointers on gardening?" "Nope," he replied. "I'm just waiting to hear what a preacher says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." Truth is, it all depends on how long they've been in church. When I first got saved, it would have been, "Oh!" Now it might be, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. You're so good." Here we are the day after Christmas. Wow, where'd this year go, huh? It just seemed that the older you get, the quicker it goes. And it's the singing of Silent Night's over. The time of placing gifts on the tree, over. Last minute shopping, over. I'll never forget, years ago, after first just got married, my wife and I forgot to get something for my dad. And so we're just like, where do you go like on Christmas Eve to get something for your dad? You know, so we ended up going like drove to Walgreens or something like that. Just had to find something that just was open. That he's like, find something for dad. You know, it's like, we just, you know, it's like all that last minute shopping stuff is over for another year. But I'm going to have just one more semi-Christmas service message today. Semi-Christmas, not totally. It really happened a few days after, but Luke, and only Luke, is the one who provides a picture of the event I want to share. Luke captures not only the exaltation of the Lord's birth in the stable, but he continues to follow a story, that I think most of us forget during the Christmas season, because it happened a few days after the birth of the Messiah. But Luke keeps on following that story. He keeps on going and gives that story of this person I'm going to introduce to you in a few moments. It's the story of Joseph. In accordance with local custom and law, he relocates Mary and the child to the city of David, Jerusalem. You know, they're told to go there, and it's there, Jerusalem, that Luke shows us the mysterious hand of God as it moves once again to fulfill an Old Testament prophecy concerning the arrival of the Messiah. So allow me to introduce you to this man that the Bible calls Simeon. If there was a man ever who had to wait on God, it was Simeon. Luke 2 gives us this story. It's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 33. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Now, normally this story just gets overshadowed in the midst of the holiday season. We talk about the shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph and the innkeeper and all those. But Simeon is a temple priest who Scripture called a righteous and devout man. And he has been waiting on the favor of the Lord to impact his life. He had this promise of things, and he just was there. Now what you need to understand is that for 400 years, the period between the concluding words of Malachi in the Old Testament and the very first verses of Matthew in the New Testament, for 400 years, God was silent. No prophet spoke. People just were there doing their thing. And God was really not actively, although we have to understand God's always active in the process. Even if we don't sense it, even if we don't know it, God's always working in the midst of the kingdom. His kingdom is not ever silent in anything. But for 40 years, they really just didn't get any voices. There was no prophet speaking, and nothing happened that was noticeable to them. And so the children of Israel, during this time, they suffered political unrest, first from the Syrians and now the Romans. And over the last 400 years, the people of Simeon had seen leadership shifts from Matthias Maccabee and his sons to the Hasmonean dynasty. And now, here they are, they've watched in awe, maybe, the Edomite family that married into the lineage, the family royal lineage, and they became kings themselves. Herod, for example. And yet in the midst of all this political unrest, Simeon and others just like him had patiently waited on the Lord to send his favor, to send this king, this Messiah to the people. Simeon had lived his whole life waiting on God. His whole life. For God to move just as he had said he would. Through guerrilla fighting of the Maccabees, Simeon waited on God. Through the political maneuvers of Jonathan, Simeon waited on God. Through the manipulations of politically ambitious families, Simeon waited on God. Through the up and down economy of the Israelites, Simeon waited on God. To a world dominated and controlled by Roman Caesars, Simeon waited on God. Sometimes, church, sometimes, you have to wait on God through the circumstances that we don't quite understand. And I know the waiting is always easy, right? Not. Yeah, it's not. It's not. It's never easy. I know waiting is so much fun. We all just love to wait. That's why we have fast food restaurants. You know, DoorDash, Grubhub, whatever. It's like we just, always we just, you know, now you got apps, you can order your food to pick it up at a McDonald's fast food place. You can order your food online before you get there. So you have to wait in line to get your food and you get there and just drive. We just all love waiting. Simeon had to wait. He had this promise of the Messiah, but he had not seen it come yet. And so he's waiting. And so as we approach this last few days of 2021, somebody here is waiting on God to move and to do just what he promised he would do. And I've got good news for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says this. Let me encourage you some today. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Amen, somebody says, I agree. God, you promised it. Amen. I will wait. And Simeon was one who knew what waiting was all about. The just and devout man who was observing the laws and who reverenced God. This Simeon who lived in the New Testament age but was still in the Old Testament paradigm. God was about to show him favor. The Bible says two things about him. First, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the comfort, the peace, the solace that only God can bring. Amen? Somebody needs to understand that the world can bring you some pleasure. But there are some things that only God can bring. Hebrews 11, 24 and 26 says this, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward." Let me read it one more time with the Passion Translation. It says this, "Faith enabled Moses to choose God's will. For although he was raised as a son of Pharaoh's daughter, he refused to make that his identity. Choosing instead to suffer mistreatment with the people of God, Moses preferred faith's certainty above the momentary enjoyment of sin's pleasures. He found the true wealth in suffering abuse for being anointed more than anything the world could offer him, for his eyes looked with wonder, not on the immediate, but on the ultimate, face great reward." Moses understood what the world can offer. Hear this, church. The world can give you advice, but God can give you direction. The world can give you a high, but God can give you a peace. The world can give you a few moments of happiness, but God can give you a joy unspeakable, full of glory. He's able to do that. See, the world has things it can try to offer you, but it will never place what God can give you ultimately. Because what God gives is so much better, so much more pleasing, so much more satisfying and longing than anything else they can offer. And Simeon is waiting on God to send this relief. The one prophesied by the prophets of old, he's waiting for God to send a king, a counselor, the truth, the way, the life, the light. He's waiting on that one. He's waiting for the Old Testament prophecy to move into the flesh. He's from the Old Testament anointing of the Spirit, not the New Testament infilling of the Spirit. See, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would fall or rest on a man or a woman. It would just rest. However, those of us in the New Testament era, we have the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. To have it live inside of us and be with us all the time, everywhere, at any given moment, because he's always there with us, in us, part of us. Simeon has the Holy Spirit resting on him, but I'm glad that I've got the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I don't shout because of what's on the outside, I shout because of who's on the inside. I'm so thankful. The Holy Spirit speaks to Simon and says that he won't see death until he's seen the Lord's Christ or Messiah. Now, here are a few things to consider. First off, we know from implication at least that Simeon was probably up in age. He was no longer a young man. We don't know really when he received this word from the Spirit. We don't really know Scripture really say that. But we do know that there's some time that has passed until he waits to see the fulfillment of this promise of Israel, this fulfillment of Israel, and for him to hear he won't die until he sees Christ. That's good news to him. He's been waiting. He's been longing for that opportunity just to know and to hear and to see. He's been longing for this very day. So here it is. after Christmas. 8 days afterwards, to be exact. And Mary and Joseph carry Jesus to this priest named Simeon. Now, maybe you never thought about this, but Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, carried to Jerusalem. Now, Bethlehem today would be more like the country or rural area. Jerusalem would be like downtown. Good part of town, whatever. It's like the hustle and bustle of the city. And so that sort of gives me this idea. So I'm going to suggest to you that Jesus is not just for the country folk, he's for the city folk as well. Jesus, he's not just for the rich, he's for the poor as well. He's not just for the educated, he's for the uneducated. He's not just for the ones and no, he's for the ones that are marginalized. He's not just for the ones in big houses, but also in the homeless. He's not just for the ones that think they have it all together, but he's for the broken. Jesus came so that he might set us all free, no matter where we are in the escalon of life, no matter how successful the world might think we are. When you know Jesus, you're successful. So carry him for the custom of the law. He's brought into Simeon for circumcision. I don't think I had to explain that, do I? I'm okay with that. All right, good. I'll keep moving on. But this was unusual. As they bring the child to the temple, this priest Simeon, and they put him in his possession, Simeon does something really strange. He blesses God. Now, the job of the priest at circumcision was to proclaim a blessing upon the child. But how can you proclaim a blessing on someone that's already so richly blessed? His job was to consecrate in prayer the child, but how can a priest consecrate someone who is like this? The Son of God, the Savior of the world. How can he do that? His only option is to worship and praise and celebrate the fact that he saw this Christ child before he died. Church, when you have been waiting on God, and then you possess the promise, you need to praise God and celebrate. When you're praying for a job and the application turns into an employment, you need to praise and celebrate. When you've been praying for that health and your doctor's prognosis turns into God's healing, you need to praise God. When you've been hooked on drugs and messed up and Jesus comes into your life and sets you free, you can't help but to praise God. Amen? Simeon realizes that what he's been waiting for years, he's now holding. Somebody needs to hear this today. Favor means that you have to wait for what you've been promised. But when you receive it, you need to praise God for it. I can't understand how some people can come to church after God gives them what he promised and all they do is refuse to praise God, to worship God, and give him all the glory and honor and praise. And testify of his goodness. I just don't get it. Why we can't be excited about what God's done for us? Psalm 107, 1 and 2 says this, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." How many know he's good? His mercy, his love endures forever. Then verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those redeemed from the hand of the foe. When you've been waiting and waiting and waiting and God comes through and God shows up, it's time to praise God. Let me go back for a moment to the innkeeper. We talked about this season a few weeks ago in our Christmas series. I just give you a couple thoughts about the innkeeper's response. Thought number one is, there was no room in the inn because the space was full. And that would be a true fact. I mean, a census was going on. People were coming from all over to come there, and this inn was most likely full of people. So it would be true that was the case. But here's another thought. How many of us have no space for the Savior of the world? We'd rather put him off in the manger, where no one can see him out of sight from others, because we're afraid that if we show him to others, people might think that we're kind of different. We'll fill our time, our spaces with everything else but him. And I've said this before, let me say it one more time, because I think it's important. We'll always make space for what or who is important to us. We'll always do that. Listen, I have been busy as busy can be, and someone just, you know, a friend asked for help, and I'm like, I'll be there. Why? Because I make room for that. I make the space, I make the time, I readjust things. When we realize whose we are, we need to make time and space for him. The second point about the innkeeper is that he didn't recognize the child that was to be born. I think sometimes we don't recognize God moving in our lives because he didn't quite move as we expect him to move. He didn't answer quite the way we thought he should answer, because our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts aren't his thoughts. And so we sometimes just don't understand. We don't think he's moving because he didn't quite move in quite the atmosphere the way that we thought he should move in our lives. And so we just get sort of sidetracked on those things. And the innkeeper just didn't recognize who this one was to be. A virgin birth was unusual. Would still be unusual. The whole thing was kind of different. I mean, angels, a bunch of angels, an army of angels, go to the shepherds, who are the lowest of people, and they're not like in the higher echelon of people, and the angels visit them. I mean, that's kind of unusual. That doesn't happen every day. But they praise God with no regard to what others might even think about their endeavor or their encounter. Let me go back to Simeon for a minute as we try to close up. I'm going to spend a lot of time with you today. Simeon says, Lord, let me die in peace. He says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Even before Jesus saw the cross, Simeon knew he was already the Savior. Church, before Jesus went to the cross, he was already the Savior. Before he marched through the streets of Jerusalem, he was already the Savior. If Simeon can bless God with anticipation, we should be able to bless God knowing what he's already done. So he's just anticipating this one to come. He's anticipating this the Savior, and yet he praised God. He saw the promise of the Lord in his hands. He's holding this one that he's to bless. He says, I can't even bless him. Just thank you, God, for the opportunity to see him. So Simeon knows the one he holds is the Savior of the world. And so you should, I should, be able to praise God when we think about the cross that he carried. We should be able to shout when we think about the journey up the hill to Calvary. We should be able to jump for joy when we think about the nails in his hands. That should be enough to make us shout for good joy. When I think about what he's done for me, before he did anything else for me, he died for me. He died for you, that we might have life, not just life, but abundant life. That should be enough to say, thank you, Jesus. But God, I'm still waiting. I know. Got promises I've heard that you've told me are mine. I'm still waiting. I know. Just keep praising me in the midst of it. Through all of the turmoil, through all the hell, through all of everything going around you, just keep praising me through it. I am still with you, my child. I will not leave you or forsake you. I will be with you to the very end. You can do it. Just trust me. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge me and I will direct your path. And so the Lord speaks to us today. He says, I know the waiting's not easy, but I'm with you in the midst of it. And you should praise him when you stop to think about what he has done for you this year. And praise him for the expectation of what he's going to do next year. Look what the Lord has done. When I look back at this year, I think, God, just there's so many things you've done for me, for my family. Some things you've done for the church. I can't help but be excited about what he's going to do next year. Just can't help it. The song that we used to sing years ago said, look where the Lord has brought us. Look where the Lord has brought us. He has brought us from a mighty, mighty long way. With a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look where the Lord has brought us. Some of you here today have been waiting on God to fulfill some promises that he gave you. I want you to know he's not forgotten them. Don't be weary in doing well. Isaiah tells us that they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Shall run and not be weary. Oh, run and not be weary. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. What if you're just one prayer away from your promise? But distraction set in. Disappointment set in. Hope deferred made your heart sick. And so that one prayer just never found its way to the throne of heaven. And so you're stuck once again waiting. But that one prayer just might be the one that sees its breakthrough. Remember in the Old Testament there's a story of man praying, and he's praying, he's like, I don't know what's going on. And finally, after, I think it was 7 or 8 days of constantly waiting and praying and just wondering, he's like, the angel comes and says, I was delayed by the kings of Persia, the enemy. That's what it basically means. And I'd send Michael to come and take my way so I could make my hair. Your prayer was heard from the very moment it was prayed. Listen, your prayer is always heard the very moment you just say, God, I need you. He hears it. And he's just longing for us. Longing for us to wait till we can hold the promise in our hand and say, thank you, Jesus. You have been so good. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. I'll close with this. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Father, I come to you today. Lord, I know there's so many of us that are waiting on some promises that have been shown to us. Lord, I've got promises I know of. I'm just with anticipation, expectation, waiting to see. And God, I will wait because I trust you. I trust you know the best answer. I trust you know the best method. I know you. I trust you that you know what's best for me. But I got to be honest. Waiting's not always easy. There's times I want that fast food Jesus. But God, so help me to learn to wait, to persevere. To keep on praying, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking, to keep on, you know, just going after the things that you've told us to do, because I know that all your promises are yes and amen. Father, so each one, I just pray you give us the grace to trust you. The peace to wait for you. The Spirit to guide us and direct us into all truth. That we might come to grow stronger than ever in you. I wait with expectation of what you have planned for us in 2022. For I know all things work for good to those who love you. So God bless your people. Some have waited like Simeon, but it's time for the dream. It's time for the promise to manifest itself this next year. So I will never cease praising you. In the midst of the storm, I'll never stop thanking you. In the midst of the adversary, I'll never stop thanking you. In the midst of the trial, because I know that my praise and my worship is how I fight the battles around me. That we can see victories fall, walls come down, and people come into the full knowledge of who they are in you, because they don't forsake you in the midst of it all. So Father, bless them, each one, in Jesus' name. I'm going to start next week with a few messages around this thought. Not the thought I just talked about, this thought. You were created for significance. That's next week. Hope to see you there. Blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.